This morning, we're going to be looking in three little bite-sized snippets, hopefully, at one subject. That subject is heaven. We're going to be thinking about heaven this morning. So I wonder if you could just for a moment just sit quietly, put your hands on your laps, close your eyes, whatever, however you find a good way to relax, because I've got a question for you. Are you relaxed? And this question is, when you think about it, what do you think heaven is like? What do you think heaven is like? Okay, anybody want to give us their answer? What is heaven like?
Peaceful and calm.
Peaceful and calm?
Joyous?
Full. Right?
Stress-free.
What does it smell like? Yeah? Is that how you imagine it? Calm, peaceful place. Noisy place. What does it sound like as you walk around? Yeah? Sounds pretty good to me. How big is it? I did a bit of maths this week, which is dangerous for me because I struggle to get my O-level, but we'll give it a go. On Earth at the moment, let's assume, and this is a big assumption, as you see, I'm blow it as an assumption, but let's assume that heaven is about the size of Earth. Just humour me this morning. There are about 8 billion people on planet Earth as of now, and there was an article I read some time ago that was talking about generations that had come before, and this person was estimating that from all the people that have come before us through history, there is also about 8.5 billion people. So we're looking at a total population, if that's true, and as I say, this is all speculation, if it's true, of about 16 billion people. Now, planet Earth, there's only so much of it that's habitable. It's underwater, about 70% of it's underwater. Some of it's too mountainous. Some of it's too cold, too inhospitable. But they've estimated that, and this sort of blew my mind really, that if we were to take the acreage of the inhabitable planet Earth, it would come out to about 16 billion acres. So if heaven was that size, every one of us would have an acre of heaven to build our mansion on. And of course, if your family's four of you could have 4 acres of land. Now that doesn't sound too bad, does it? But of course, that's not what heaven is like. You get this impression that it's something infinite. And it says there is no sea. So that gives more land. But how big is it? Well, this came up today. I hadn't looked at this site until I was looking at something this morning. Let's see if I can find it. Why do computers always go wrong when you don't want them to? Oh, here we go. This is from gotquestions.org. And somebody asked, how big is heaven? And the person said, so how big is heaven? We don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't give any linear measurements. But when John had his vision of heaven, he wrote, there before me was a great multitude that no one can count from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Heaven is at least big enough for the innumerable multitude, and we can assume that there will be no crowding in heaven. Having last week tried to fight our way through Transport of London on the underground, it would be nice to have a place that's not crowded. So how big is it? It's big enough. How many people will be there? Well, we'll come to that a little later on. But just hold on to that idea of what heaven is like. Because it seems to me there's only one person who really knows, who's walked planet Earth, who really knows what heaven is like intimately, up close, and that's Jesus. And he came to show us what heaven can do. John had a glimpse and it blew his mind. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the other way, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice on the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy, true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Though victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowards, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of sulfur, which is the second death." No wonder John had to try and process all of that. Absolutely incredible. Okay, here we go. Next bit about heaven. There are four shops or places that you won't find in heaven that we have around us now. There's probably more, but I don't know if they have it in heaven. But if they do, they won't have these. "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." There will be no more death, more funeral directors, no more adverts for pure cremations. Thankfully. Paul wrote this, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned." Should Adam and Eve have lasted forever, lived forever when Adam sinned, death entered creation, Paul says. When Jesus died and rose again, and now his promises to his friend Martha is true. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives but believes by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? He said, do you believe this? Can you imagine a place where there is no more death? Where there's no more war, where there's no more conflict, there's no more fatal accidents like we've seen this week. Those who live there, the inhabitants, living forever. No death, nothing to end life. No more mourning, no more cemeteries or crematoria. Won't be needed. It's death. And we know this, death breaks relationships. It separates people, it divides and it breaks hearts. No more. There won't be any more of that again. We try to make the end of life as best as we can, but mourning can still grip the heart. When we miss someone so much, we feel the loss, we feel the absence. We won't have that feeling anymore. Isn't that incredible? So no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more shops selling tissues. Well, they probably will, but the tears in heaven are going to be tears of gratitude. They're going to be tears of celebration because Jesus is King. He's over all. God himself will wipe away our tears of sorrow. You see, God the Father knows the loss. He knows the pain and the sorrow. Jesus does too. As do all the angels who've witnessed all the things that go on in our planet, so much that would drive them to tears. That will all be gone. Something new will appear and we should be part of it, and there won't be any need to cry sad tears ever again. Everything that mars and sars this world will be swept away along with our tears. No more pain, he says. No more hospitals. Can you imagine? No more hospitals. No more pharmacies, doctors, nurses or surgeons, no longer needed. No more daily regime of medication. You won't, when you get to the end of the week, have to do your little boxes with all your tablets in. Won't need them. No more aches and pains. Some of us this morning got out of bed and went, oh. No more aches and pains. So if you're living with that, that's going to be gone. Never again. Rather, you can have a new body, and we'll touch on that in a minute. No more of that growing awareness that this body is packing up. You know, it can't do what it used to do. And that's not going to change, but it will change when we get to heaven. A new body. Do you fancy a new body? One that really works? Paul says this, someone will ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they, with what kind of body will they come? How foolish, he says. What you sow doesn't come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you don't plant the body that will be. You plant just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind, animals have another, birds another, fish another. There are heavenly bodies, there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly body is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly body is another. The stars have one kind of splendor, the moon and the stars another. And stars differ from star in splendor. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is so perishable, you know that one, that's the one we've got now. The body that is so perishable will be raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. We're going to have something completely new. Completely new. Not just what we've got now, slightly tweaked. Something new. He says this, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. We will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable, this bit we've got now, must clothe itself with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality. We're going to live forever in the presence of our God. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? You're looking forward to something that lasts forever and won't get old and won't have aches and pains, and you never have to cry again, you never mourn again for any loss. Because God has brought it all to pass. Wow. That's part two. Another hymn. You see, we're dealing with a mystery here. We're dealing with so much that we don't know. I think it's always interesting. When you ask people that question, what heaven is like, they want it to be what they would want this life to be. But it's going to be even better than that. Much better than that. We don't know how to do it, but we'll be witness to it. I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his love upon the sons of men. This Jesus that came for us, so that we might know that heaven is our destination. Can you imagine being there on that day? Ooh, myriad human voices sing, and earth to heaven and heaven to earth will answer, at last the Saviour of the world is King. Wow. I'm looking forward to that. Not today. No, not today. But when the Father's had enough and he says, that's it, you know. A few more things missing from heaven. Five things you won't find in heaven. And this I can guarantee. Well, most of them I can. There's one I'm not sure about. But we'll see. Maybe just wishful thinking. Five things you won't find in heaven. The first is one we do here very regularly and we won't have to do in heaven. Yeah, prayer would be one. I'm thinking about something that we use this table for. Communion. We won't need communion in heaven because he says it's until he comes. We remember him until he comes. Well, if he's there face to face and we're part of those myriad human voices singing God's praise, there won't be a need for communion. Communion centers us and holds us, reminds us of what God has done for us. We won't need that in heaven. Now, this is my speculation. No meetings. That's true. No diaries. Can you imagine? What about this then for another bit of John's vision of what was in heaven and what is in heaven? He says in Revelation 21, I didn't see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. The glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will the gates ever be shut, for there will be night there. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. No temple. We won't have to go to a place to worship. There won't be any churches, there won't be any temples, there won't be any cathedrals. We won't have to gather one place in small groups. We'll all be together singing the praises of God. It will be all around us. Glory of God filling that place. No night, he says. There won't be any night. Just the love of God always. No dark places for sin to hide. This is going to be filled with the glory of God. And we're going to live forever in the glory of God. And then comes the one that's tinged with a bit of sadness, really. One of the things you won't find in heaven will be those who've rejected Jesus. You see, heaven is not an automatic right. It is a gift of God that we need to claim. The only way to be sure of all of this is to give your life to Jesus. And that means acknowledging that none of us are fit for heaven. We don't deserve it. And asking God to forgive our sins and asking us to be a part of his plan. To know that heaven is your home. It's your destination. And this is just passing through because of Jesus. So heaven, four places you won't find, no funeral directors, no cemeteries, no more shops selling tissues unless it's for praise, and no more pain, no more communion, no more meat, no temple, no night, no one who rejects Jesus. This will be those who have made a decision to invite Jesus into their life. So that's the one thing that need not be missing. It is possible every day for someone to give their life to Jesus and find that that's their home. But you know we're dealing with a mystery here, aren't we? We're going to watch a video of a song that you probably know quite well, but it captures that sense of we don't really know what it's going to be like, but we know it's going to be glorious. I can only imagine, by mercy me.